Let's go.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It is Sunday, April 26th. We've reversed roles.
This is No Agenda.
And hopefully not fortunes. Coming to you from the lovely Gitmo Nation West, or should I say Northwest, in San Francisco. I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm John C. Dvorak, and coming up, I blew it, right? From Gitmo Nation East.
Yeah, fantastic.
We'll get it later.
All right, officially the shittiest start of the show ever.
For giving me crap before we started.
Oh, hold on. You're overmodulating now. You got to turn it down. You're like blowing me out here.
Okay, well, here, give me your, how's that sound? Is that better?
No, now you're too soft.
Oh, man, you're just going to complain the whole time.
Okay, look, I'll turn you up here. Okay, this is No Agenda, episode 92, discombobulated, because not only have we reversed locations, we've reversed time zones. I'm really not a morning person, John, when it comes to doing any kind of show. It's early for me.
Yeah, well, it's something like 4:30 here in the afternoon. I'm in Holland. Gitmo Nation East version.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. It's nice out. It's raining a little bit earlier.
So, this is your...
Hey, by the way, first thing I did when I got here, we went out and looked at that giant lock, that big giant dam they built in Rotterdam that closes the ocean.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Yes. Of course.
You have?
Yeah, but it's you know, for
in
us, it's
person?
No... Yes. My wife is from Rotterdam. I do go there from time to time.
It took us forever to find the thing.
Yes. And did you see it in motion? Probably, right?
No. They only close it once a year when they have to.
No. They close it all the time.
Well, it wasn't closed and they weren't moving it.
Okay. All right. So, John, you're in Amsterdam. I'm in San Francisco. I happen to be in a hotel... for this trip, and it's a real shithole, which is kind of interesting. The setup is different. Everything is a little bit messed up.
Yeah, but the stream sounds pretty good.
Yeah, stream sounds reasonable. So tell me about your... how long has it been since you've been in Amsterdam? It's been, what, 20, 25 years maybe, last time you were there?
I was there 2 years ago.
That's what I mean, 20, 25 years ago.
Well, since they closed the smart shops, it might seem that way to you.
Well, no. The smart shops only sold mushrooms and other stuff. Nothing that I was interested in.
Mm.
So where are you now? You're not in a hotel?
No. I'm at Jan Allen's house.
Okay. And he's part of your little excursion?
Yeah. He's the excursion.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's only one thing in the news here, John.
It's going to be a short show if you can't come up with more than one crummy thing.
Well, we can talk about this one for quite a while. This swine flu is the top of the news. I've got people calling me from Europe saying, oh, man, are you okay? Is it going to be all right? You know, because, of course, I came with a cold. I had a pretty massive head cold, which it could be swine flu for all I know. But, yeah, and I've been hawking and coughing and sneezing and wheezing, and people are like, hey, man, you know, there's a clinic really nearby the hotel. I can drop you off there. You can have them take a look at you. Everyone is freaking out, John.
My wife in Washington State is worried because she's coming down and she's going to meet up with her friend who happens to have just come up from Mexico.
Yeah, I'd keep that person away from me.
I mean, she wasn't in Mexico City.
I think the whole thing is horseshit, honestly. I'm not buying any of it.
You don't think there's any swine flu going on at all?
I'm sure there's swine flu, and I'm sure it's derived from bird flu or whatever, but people don't seem to be dying in the States. They seem to only if you're Mexican do you die, so I'm not worried.
Well, maybe it's a targeted genetic experiment.
I think it's a beta test. I think this is a... There's a couple of interesting articles that I've been collecting. There was a Spanish article. Let me see if I can find this, that actually spoke of a test that they were planning a test on April 17th. Let me see if I can find it now. So some people think this is just a kind of a get ready. I mean, to me, it seems pretty clear that they've been trying it for a while and the bird flu thing just didn't work. Swine flu things seem to work a little bit better. And now everyone's going to get some pills. Let's all break out the Relenza and the Tamiflu.
So what's the what was this thing you read in the Spanish newspaper?
Yeah, I'm looking for it. As I said, I'm a little slow this morning. Well, while I'm looking for that, I do have an interesting bit from Bloomberg. Apparently, Panasonic, in February 18th, sent all of their workers home from different outposts in the world as a warning, saying that there was probably some kind of pandemic flu coming. Here it is. February 10th, I'm sorry. Panasonic has instructed Japanese workers assigned to parts of Asia, Africa, Eastern Europe, and South America to send family members back to Japan because of the risk of outbreaks of new influenza strains. How'd they know that in February?
That's weird. Did they keep them? Have they gone back, or are they still in Japan now?
It's just a very short short notice that I just found on Bloomberg, and it's only two paragraphs. The Osaka-based electronics maker has asked workers' families to return home by the end of September. What is that?
By the end of September. September. This is for next year, Lou.
Interesting. Well, so.
So, yeah, you're right. Yeah. That means they're gearing up. They got it all ready to go. They're going to give us a flu, a vaccine for four flus, and then they're going to have the fifth one they're going to release, and they're going to kill everyone.
Not everyone. It's only going to... No, of course not. It's only going to kill people over 60 and under 15.
Well, you know, the swine flu that's going around has a range. It has a kill range between 25 and 45. Nobody younger or older. It's like it's hitting a middle group.
Yeah, but see, I just don't buy it at all. I mean, it feels
well, one
wonky.
Case, you know, as we were flying out, one case cropped up in New York City.
Well, yeah, there was a school. A school closed down because there were kids who were showing influenza symptoms, and so they everyone's freaking out. I just think that it's one big piece of bull crap, and you know. How do we actually know that 60 people died in Mexico?
Well, nobody's going to actually be reporting on such things, so I guess we're just taking somebody's word for it.
Exactly.
Maybe they're looking for sympathy.
Wales now in the United Kingdom has pulled out all the stops, big alert, saying we're preparing. Because, of course, Wales is, they see themselves separate from the United Kingdom. You know, they have their own Gaelic language, and they have their own little enclave there, and I guess they have their own setup, and they're getting ready for the pandemic flu, according to the top police chief, the National Health Service, the Assembly, local government. They even have a name for it. They call it Exercise Taliesin. Which I don't know.
So they got a Gaelic name. They came up with some new Wales name.
Yeah, T A L I E S I N, Taliesin.
So I have my Tamiflu in the suitcase, which I carry with me wherever I travel. So I'm ready. It still works apparently on this new flu. And I'm telling you, you should either travel with some Relenza or some Tamiflu.
Well,
I keep telling everybody this.
I'm not going to get either one.
Yeah, I know you're not. I'm just saying, I'm advising it, so when you get to whatever it is and then moan and groan about it, you know, as you come to the near-death experience, I'm just going to say, you know, was it worth it?
So here's the things that the dots that people are connecting, which I just love. So on the last No Agenda, we talked very specifically about Monsanto being kicked out of Germany with their genetically modified pigs. And so, of course, there's immediate theories. Either A, the swine flu propagates through non-Monsanto pigs, which I thought was a pretty good one, i.e., hey, man, you can't have these swine flu pigs. You got to have our pigs, the healthy kind.
That's a good one.
It's a classic, isn't it? Yeah, I like that. Or, of course, you know, these genetically modified pigs are the ones that actually are the problem. But from the way I see it, you know, John, how long have we been talking about the pandemic? You know, probably coming from bird flu, and you know, we've seen the attempts to try and spread it amongst the population, and now here it is. You know, it literally it's an HN flu, except it's, you know, it's the H1N1 flu.
Yeah, but H1N1 was bird flu. That's the thing that I haven't had an explanation for. How do we have the H1N1 bird flu, and now we have the H1N1 swine flu? I mean, am I missing something here?
Well, I'm pulling up another report here of a medical director who says that this could have only been created in a laboratory. That this
that's, you know, our man.
It's, yeah, well, it comes from Infowars.com, so it's not, oh, via, yeah, Alex,
great,
Jones.
Well, there goes that.
No, he's got a lot of good links here. But of course, you know, how does bird flu get into pigs, you know, and how does that work? But here it is. NPR reported the deadly swine flu combines genetic material from pigs, birds, and humans in a way researchers have not seen before, leading researchers to suspect it was cooked up in a lab. There you go.
It's doable. I mean, it seems to me as though if they had that vaccine that they sent out that you kept talking about, mm-hmm, that had the bird flu in it by accident,
yeah,
that if that got into some people, that would create a probably a fourth variation that would be similar to cooking it up in a lab.
So I'm, I don't know. I'm just,
I guess somebody's, you know, I think they're just trying to move some product here. You know, here's a thought. You know, Tamiflu, there used to be a couple other things called, I think it was Flumidine and a couple of these other things. There were two variants, I can't remember the exact chemical names, but there were these two antivirals that were used before Tamiflu, and they worked on the flu very well. And then about 3 years ago, they just stopped working, and they don't work at all. And so they just took them off the market. And these are the two, amantadine something and something. There's two of them. And so they took these things off the market, and then Tamiflu came along with Relenza, and that took over, and they're more expensive because the other stuff was kind of a generic, and so they were cheaper, and the Tamiflu's expensive. When it's anybody out there who wants to get a Tamiflu prescription, by the way, the insurance companies, as of about a year and a half ago, will not pay for this.
Really? Really?
Yeah, because I went into my pharmacist, and I loaded up the family, so everybody in the family has one batch of Tamiflu.
Wait a minute. So the Dvorak family, they have like a little pill box that they carry with them everywhere, and they're all set?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wait a minute. Can I ask you a question? If you're truly my friend, now I gave you some gold to carry around. How come you didn't hook me up with some Tamiflu? Like, you don't give a shit if I die?
Did you listen to the beginning of the show?
Yeah, but you didn't hook me up with any. Like, now I have to...
You keep saying I will never use this stuff.
Yeah, but it's still about the love, brotherly love.
You're just, now you're for you. What it is your memory is going.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the clinic, the one that everyone wants me to go to, and I'm going to say, get me a Tamiflu prescription, and that will show us if it's available. And if they're even handing it out, I mean, I'm sure there's gonna be some kind of rules or regulations put in pretty quick about this stuff. So why don't I do that tomorrow?
Okay, and when you do it, test. Yeah. And tell them, and they says, well, I don't think you have the flu, Mr. Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you say to them, well, look, if that may or may not be true, I won't use it now, but I need it as a prophylactic. Give me a prescription. Seriously, they're supposed to give it to you as a prophylactic.
How can Tamiflu be a prophylactic?
You would take it in case you thought you were getting the flu, or if you're going into some area where there's a flu or something like that. Just see what they do.
Okay.
Anyway, so where was I? Oh, okay. So these other things, these amantadine and these other antivirals just stopped. It was about 2 years ago, two flu seasons ago or so. And it baffles everybody because it's like, why does this stuff stop working? And I mean, it stopped dead. Doesn't do anything. So then Tamiflu, which is a more expensive product, $100. A dose, not a pill, but for one regimen, it's 5 days. You take it four times a day or three times a day, five days. is extremely expensive. And now it turns out that there's some evidence that Tamiflu is stopping working on certain, like some of the strains that they have in the flu shot, which means, you know, what now? Let me finish the thought. So the thought is, if they think Tamiflu is going to stop working, they're going to have to dump their stocks while it still does work. So let's create some phony flu scenario and get rid of it.
Right.
Get it out of inventory. How's that? Is that good enough for you?
I like, you know, the thing is we're both kind of on the same side on this issue. So there's really not a lot to discuss. Someone's screwing with us big time. End of story. It's just dumb. I just can't believe it. Well, anyway, all I'm seeing is reports about you can get a scratchy throat, you know, a headache, maybe diarrhea, maybe vomiting, but it seems like, you know, a flu, you know, and it's just the way that's been jacked up, and it's incredible how this has gone so, you know, pun intended, viral, where I'm getting calls all night long from people saying, oh man, are you okay? And are they going to let you back into the United Kingdom if you come from California? Like, I don't know. I think so.
They won't. Maybe you're stuck.
While you're over there in the Netherlands, you might want to talk to your hosts about this. I had not heard of this until I read it in Der Spiegel magazine. Apparently, they're using they call it the mosquito, but it's a teen repellent system throughout the Netherlands, in Rotterdam, out Charlois.
Did you say teen?
Yes, teen, as in teenagers. A teen repellent. What it is, it's a device that you can, so wherever kids are loitering, and apparently, so this is now in use in Rotterdam, or a suburb of Rotterdam. You hang this device up, and it emits an extremely annoying sound, but at a frequency that apparently can only be heard by people under the age of 25. So that's got to be...
Oh, that's the sound. Yeah, right. They can hear stuff that adults can't hear, but there's devices being used in Holland?
Yeah.
Have you heard of this?
And... So
he says, yeah, he's heard of it.
I hadn't heard of it. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is like super Gitmo Nation stuff, man. You get like a...
So they
like
hang
a,
some...
Like
some,
a ray, a beam. Like a
yeah. And it drives the kids away?
Yeah, and it gives the kids headaches. And they're like, oh, man, I don't want to be near that thing. And so, of course, what they're doing is they're hanging these things outside of places where they don't want kids loitering. So what do the kids do is they go inside the establishment to loiter on the inside. So it's totally backfiring. But this is obviously raising, human rights issues because, it's an outrage. You're hanging up shit to repel people. That's not right.
Teen repellent.
You got to go and find this, man.
You're getting me thinking this is not a bad idea.
Get off my lawn, kids, or I'll turn on the mosquito.
You know, I drive around with my daughter, who's 14, and I get some new brakes on the car, and apparently to her they squeak.
And you can't hear them, right?
I can't hear them. And I mean, you can get them to squeak by doing certain things, but she's claiming that whenever I touch the brake pedal, it's just this gosh awful sound of screeching brakes.
You see,
so I don't know.
Well, I like this whole technology because if there's one thing that's amazing, it's the fact that there's a device that makes teenagers listen to anything. So why can't I get a hold of one of these devices and send out messages like, clean up your room, take out the trash, do the laundry. We need one of these devices. That's perfect for teenagers.
So that's pretty funny. Did you look it up, try to find out if you can buy the thing or buy these devices? I mean, it must be available.
No, I haven't. I haven't done the research. I kind of got confused because I forgot that, you know, if I have to get up at 6:30 to set up for the show AM, that I wouldn't really have much time or consciousness to prep properly.
Yeah, well, I figured that would be the case. Well, then we can go to a couple of the gimmick. Why don't you play the real news theme here, and we'll go to one of my clips.
Yeah, sure. I do have some other things that are interesting, but yes, now that you ask for
it. And now, back to real news.
All right. Yes, you had some clips you wanted to play.
Okay, I got the clip. I was watching the Adult Video Awards, which is one of the worst things you've ever seen, because it's like everybody in the audience is making out, usually two women, and they're feeling each other up, and then there's a bunch of sleaze balls. It's just unbelievable.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is actually. There's something fantastic about it. But, you know, only could, they're like watching a train wreck. So I watched this woman win the Best New Actress Award, and I think she has one of the most interesting thank you speeches probably ever given on any award show. And so the clip is, which is the Stoya clip, the woman's okay. name is, she's got a single name, Stoya.
Okay.
And she is a, she's introduced by some dingy blonde who won it last year, and she's kind of a goofball.
All right.
And then Stoya gives her thanks, and I clipped it down so it's pretty short, and it's actually a classic.
Wow. I can't believe that it's been a whole year since I was up here to accept this award. It was truly one of the greatest experiences of my life. And now I'm very pleased to have you all join me in seeing who this year's nominees are in the category of best.
Do you have this on video?
I think I might still have it. But the funny thing is, there's a note here I want to put in. When they have nominations for awards on this show, they nominate everybody they can think of. The nominations
well, yeah,
go on
of course,
forever.
Because they want everyone to show up.
Exactly.
Here we go.
New starlet.
Best new starlet. Lexi Bell. Tori Black. Chase Evans. Jalen Fox. Jaden James. Nikki.
Wouldn't it be funny? Best debutantes. Adam Curry. John C. Dvorak.
Jane. Jamie Langford. Jandy Lynn. Megan Malone. Priya Ray. Faye Reagan. Ryder Sky. Missy Stone. Stoya. Angelina Valentine.
Okay. And I'm shaking so bad for her. I feel like I'm winning all over again right now. Stoya!
Yeah, baby! Come on down, Stoya!
Oh my God! Thank you. Thank you so much, ABN, Digital Playground, Robbie fucking D, June, and just about each and every person that jerks off to my smut.
That's funny.
Yeah, you don't hear that every day.
Yeah. And they had the band there, too, playing live for the acceptance speech. That's a pretty big production. I like it.
Oh, it's huge, huge. And the thing is packed.
That's fantastic.
But, you know, it's the same thing they nominate. Blah, da, 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 da. It goes on for days with these nominations. And all these people have these phoniest names ever.
And that used to be the only reason to go to Comdex, wasn't it? When the Adult Video Awards were at the same time as Comdex?
Yeah, they used to have the show at the same time as Comdex. And You drift over to the other show, you know.
Oh, gee, how did I wind up here all of a sudden?
You'd go over there, and it was pretty funny because, for one thing, if you had a video camera or something, girls would just about do anything. Mm-hmm. And it was really it's quite amusing to go over there and hang out. But they moved it. So what was the other one I have there, the other clip?
You have something called Fat People Clip?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is we can save this for another real news segment, or we can do this one. This is an interesting, this kind of changes the direction of the show a little bit. But this is a news report that came out like a week ago. Everything has to have a global warming angle.
Well, yes,
so now the news, and this is an actual news report that was done on, I think it was KPIX and in San Francisco. And they're blaming.
Sorry.
Sorry?
No, I'm sorry. I just started the clip prematurely.
Oh, okay. Play the clip.
Kip Doe on why researchers say obesity is bad for the environment.
Oh, yeah.
Obesity and global warming. both heavy topics now linked by a new study from the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. It says people who weigh more tend to drive more and eat more. And all that food, it's shipped on average 1,500 miles from where it's grown to your plate. Fat people, researchers contend, are killing the planet more so than those who are thin.
All right, finally something I can stand behind. Now you're talking. Kill the fat people. This is good. Now we're really into
The funny thing about this report, which went a lot longer, by the way, I didn't want to play the whole thing. There's a bunch of puns in throughout because the reporter couldn't take it too seriously. And then throughout the report, all they showed was the fattest people imaginable. The TV guys love to show this. And, you know, you never see their heads. It's just either a shot of their big butt
ass,
or their big gut that's hanging over, bouncing off their knees.
But what people got to realize is that this is exactly where we're headed. And, yeah, we laugh about it now. But it's no joking matter because they literally – they're already doing it in the United Kingdom with parents, you know, they can take your kids away from you if they're obese or if they're deemed obese, and they're going to do it under all of these new rules and regulations. You know, hey man, you're too fat. You're killing the planet. You're antisocial. That's antisocial behavior. We got to cite you for that. And by the way, look at this lovely camp we have all set up. Why don't you come over here and we'll train that all off of you?
Fat camp. They can change the name. So there was a report out of England that I was looking at. It's on the blog, actually. I guess it was someone who casually said some mom just had a baby and she gave birth to a boy. I guess they all thought it was going to be a girl. And she says to one of the nurses, oh, I was hoping it was. At first she had a cesarean, so she's drugged.
Yeah.
And she says, well, it's too bad. Here's the name of the story. It's, while woozy, wishing newborn was a girl, leads to mother's harassment and possible. They almost had her arrested.
Oh, right. Because she has postpartum depression and she doesn't want
the
baby.
No, this wasn't. Well, they think that she, you know, they don't know what she had. But I'll just read this. Woozy from pain medication after a cesarean section, swinging from joy to over her newborn boy to exhaustion from the strain of delivering him, Karen Piper mentioned to her doctor that she'd been hoping for a girl. When nurses finally told Piper she was free to leave, no discharge papers for her son were brought out. Instead, she faced a parade of inquisitive official visitors, including uniformed police, a social worker, a psychiatrist, and assorted doctors and nurses. Her baby had been placed on medical hold while government investigators considered whether she was fit to take Luke home to Prince George's County.
What publication was this in?
Well, you can assume where it was from the Daily Mail.
The Daily Mail?
No, this was in the Washington Post. I take it back.
This is in the Washington Post,
not the Daily Mail.
But this is conditioning, John. This
let me see where this was.
This is what this is about. They're doing it now. This is what we talked about on the last show with this mom's psycho law.
This actually took place in the United States.
Yeah, and this article is meant to condition you to get you ready for the fact that moms now have to, or expectant moms have to undergo psychiatric tests, and if necessary, take the drugs that are prescribed. Otherwise, you don't get a sign off. That's exactly what happened here. Oh, you seem to be depressed. So we're not going to sign off. We're not going to release your kid. Before your kid is actually, when it comes out of your uterus, when it comes out of the womb, it belongs to the government until you can prove that you're worthy of having the kid.
Sorry I brought it up. So it's just the way it is.
No,
I just find the whole thing distressing.
Well, of course it's distressing. It's fucking wrong.
What's the common sense factor? There's some common sense, other common sense stories that have cropped up recently. You know, it's like, what are these guys thinking?
Well, you know my stance on what they're actually thinking.
Yeah, I know. You consider it a giant scheme.
Could you just talk for a second while I just go grab some coffee? Because it's like, I can't quite reach with the headphones.
Yeah, okay. I got an email from Mike Pelletier. Which is a hard name to pronounce, actually. So, Mike, sorry I got it wrong. He says, he's talking about the, here we go again, with Portuguese linguiça. He talked about another one called Chirico, a spicier linguiça. He lives in southeastern Massachusetts, and you can find authentic Portuguese linguiça and Chirico at Chavez's Market in Fall River, Massachusetts, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
Made right in the butcher shop. I wonder, you know, that we've got a new name on Twitter that called, I think it's called Linguisa. And the guy is collecting all the addresses of places that maybe have Linguisa.
Now, what is the deal? How does he do that? Does he just Twitter from time to time with a new location, or can you send a Twitter to him and he'll send
you send a tweet to him and then he does the rest? I don't know what he does.
That's cool.
We're going to make a big deal out of this. I'm going to make this the sausage du jour. It's just a better sausage. You hear that?
Yes. It's a better sausage.
No, I thought you could hear the bells.
No.
I thought the mic was more sensitive than that.
No, so I don't. Anyway. I don't like this mic you're using. I'm not a big fan of the SM7 or 57.
57.
Yeah, not a big fan of it. It sounds kind of muddled.
Well, it could be the thing on it. It could be a lot of things.
The Italian.
All right. Well, but I like it for. It's easy to travel with, and it's fits in a case, and I'll just use it for now, and then I'll get back to my good. Gear.
Yeah. The Italian mafia is cleaning up during the economic crisis, according to Breitbart.com. You know how much the Italian mafia clears on an annual basis, just in gross revenue, estimated?
What?
$170 billion a year in Italy.
Wow. That's pretty good money.
Yeah, what's happening now is, and it's logical that this is taking place. You know, now that we have these, you know, what is the main business of the mob? The main business of organized crime is loan sharking. So you know, so they're doing double time on in the loan sharking business, but also where they make most of their money is in the knockoff business. So they have all the high value brands. The bags, the sunglasses, all of that crap. They have that made specially for them in China. Probably in the same factories, of course, as the real deal. And
I've always suspected that because there's occasionally you get. I mean, for one thing, when you take a look at a Rolex clone and or actually even bags and some of this other stuff. Some of this stuff is obviously cheaper and it's not as high quality. But some of this stuff is
undetectable.
Yeah, it looks exactly the same. It's got and what are they going to do? Are they going to put molds together and manufacturing lines to clone a watch that's exactly the same when you could just find somebody at who's already making that watch because they're all outsourced. Let's face it, And then just say, hey, here's some money. I want you to make an extra 1,000 of these things or 10,000.
So when
we can't afford it. You put a plastic top on it if you can't afford the glass, or stuff like that.
When you read this article, which is in the show notes at noagenda.mevio.com, you'll really read through this and you go like, wow, man, everyone's got to know these guys are doing it. Now, I'm sure that they go to the top fashion designers you never hear, any huge news about, oh, we rolled up this, this huge counterfeit ring. You never hear about that. Because I'm sure they don't go after them. I'm sure it's just like, all right, that's the secondary market. Maybe they even need the secondary market to keep all the molds and everything in place for the real deal. It seems like that's completely integrated.
Yeah, I think so too. In fact, when I went to Korea, not this last time, but just one time before, there's an area of town where they have all these suitcases, and it's mostly for luggage. And Eddie Bauer stuff and all the stuff. And it all seems like, pretty good quality stuff. And it's just like $5. it's everything's $5.
Someone said
I've always been convinced that there's some, with a lot of this, the clone stuff, it's just as good as the real stuff. And in fact, a lot of people, I got pretty good at identifying, especially Rolexes, because I collected a number of them. And, I would every once in a while I'd run into somebody who had I always like to look at people's Rolexes because there is one difference is that the real ones are usually made with a lot of gold and they weigh more
and an assorted other bits of bling.
So anyway, the people would say, was that a real one? And occasionally you'd get one that was obviously my mom gave it to me for my 30th, or whatever. I got married. So you haven't got the guts to say, I think it's a complete fake.
Well, what's,
so say, yeah, yeah, it's fine. It's good, you know.
You know, enjoy. From time to time, when I show up at airport security, you know, and I kind of know the drill. I got the laptop out of the bag. I got the belt off. And I know exactly, in the UK, you don't have to take your shoes off. And, oh, by the way, it doesn't go off even with my boots, which, you know, do have metal in them. Because they have a separate shoe x-ray machine. You know, so I'm taking everything off. But from time to time, they'll say, oh, you have to take your watch off. And I always have to laugh at that. And I always say no. I say, I'm not taking my watch off. I'm not going to put my watch through your machine. So I can't keep my eye on it when it goes through that machine. And by the way, it will not set off the metal detector. Gold is not supposed to set off the metal detector.
Well, not everyone here wears gold. You know, there's some, I was in some foreign country and they had one of these metal detectors that you walk through, and it had a, it had some sort of a little gauge at the bottom. And I asked the person about it. It was like a bunch of lights. Mm-hmm. And when you walk through it, a light would light up at, in the vicinity of where something needed to be checked. In other words, it was the top of your head, the middle of your body, or your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And which I thought was a solution to, you know, people taking off. I think taking off their shoes, which has been spotty. Not everybody has to take off their shoes, but now they're making everybody take off their shoes for some reason. It's like, why am I taking off my shoes? I wear plastic shoes.
Because we had one douchebag who had tried to light his shoe on fire.
Even after they,
remember that guy?
Yeah, the shoe bomber.
It's like one guy, you know, and he was unsuccessful. It didn't work. It's like, oh, now take your shoes off. We got at Heathrow Airport, there's like 15 people extra working now just for the shoe x-ray machine, which you can totally bypass. You can, you know, I did it again on my way over. You go through the right-hand passport control station, and then once you're through, you know, you can slip right off to the right of the queue for the shoes, and they never stop you. You just look, you fumble around with your passport until someone else is walking around. You wait for a diversion, and you walk right by, and they've never questioned me.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Well, the whole thing. I mean, San Francisco had this. I told the story before. I left out of San Francisco this time, but then I realized I didn't leave out of the international terminal. I left out of the domestic terminal to go to Dulles, but I wanted to go through the international terminal so I could go by. You know, they have that machine with the micro beam or whatever the heck, the X-ray thing, that crazy thing. That
the profile capturer. What do you call it?
Yeah, whatever it is, and which I went through. I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. I
walked through biometric profile. That's it.
Well, no, it's somehow whatever. It's called a micro something or other. But anyway, you go through it, and it says if you go through this, you won't get patted down. But when you go through it, you get more patted down because they wanted to see how good it did. I mean, that was the joke of it. You know, you got a comb in your back pocket? Yeah, I got a comb in my back pocket. So anyway, so I wanted to bypass it because they say you can go over the other way and get patted down. Like, because I wanted to go over there so I could say, well, I'm going over here because I'd rather get patted down rather than going through that machine and get patted down. Why should I have to go through all that agony?
Right.
You're just a bitch, but
I got a nice welcome home, Mr. Curry, at customs this time around.
Oh, you did,
yeah,
in San Francisco.
Yeah, welcome home, Mr. Curry. What was interesting, you know, I was waiting for my bag, and for some reason, I must say, I dislike it when you're an upper class passenger and your bag comes off last. It seems like that should be done differently. And they had the dog.
I've heard other people bitch about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally the ground handling service. It's not actually even the airline, you know.
Because they see it and they kick it a couple of times, drop it on the ground and throw it in. Hey, let's leave this one in last for this bastard.
This dickhead. Wow. And so they had
I do. If I was working in a luggage thing, that's exactly what I'd do.
Yeah.
I put all that stuff aside, stomp, jump up and down on it, and throw it in so it makes sure it goes and comes out last. That's what I do. I mean, that's what you do when you're working class.
Well, that's very disappointing to hear, John.
I'm just telling you, it's just a fact of life. So you're just gonna have to get used to it.
So I'm waiting there for the bag, and they have the sniffer dog come out, which is a beagle.
Did you ask him what kind of sniffer dog? I always ask them, and they always tell me.
Well, I didn't ask, and I was just preoccupied and annoyed that my luggage didn't show up, but apparently it was not a drug dog, because when I got into the hotel and I go to roll up a nice little bit of tobacco there, I look inside my pouch, and it's like I'd forgotten to remove some herbs from the pouch.
Well, that would have been interesting.
That would have been very... So I guess it wasn't a drug dog. If it was a drug dog, it's a real shitty drug dog. He's no good. And I wonder how far away can they sniff stuff, you know, from miles away? I mean, how does that work?
The drug dog can smell thing from about it looks like about a two or 3 foot radius.
Well,
any good drug dog would have spotted your what you had brought in illegally. My advice, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't do that again.
Yeah, but I didn't do it on purpose. I had to leave in a hurry. You know, it's like my plans changed.
What was it doing in your suitcase in the first place?
It wasn't in my suitcase. It was in my pocket, in my jacket pocket.
Oh, just walk around with it all the time. Okay, that makes sense.
I'm a lucky bastard. Hey, someone sent me a great clip. I don't have the... do I have the Shadow Puppet Theater jingle? I'm sorry, I don't have it here.
It was probably the Beagle was probably a bomb dog.
No, I think it was an agriculture dog. I think he was just looking for like nuts and bananas and apples and shit like that.
Could be. Those are the three dogs. They have an ag dog, a bomb dog, and a drug dog.
Yeah. No, I got a welcome home, Mr. Curry. You're good to go. That was really nice. So this is a minute and a half. It's Barney Frank. I just despise this guy so much because he's such a dick, and he's sitting there and he's helping the bankers screw us out of all of our money and my kids' money and my kids' kids' money. And I want you to listen to this clip of Barney Frank, who is the chairman of the the Banking and Finance Committee, I think it's called.
Yeah, something like that.
Talking about Fannie and Freddie Mac in 2005. Let me just get this started. It's a YouTube clip. Oh, of course, now it's not going to play. Ah, here we go. Come on. Ah. Yeah, this is June 27th, speech on the House floor.
I am very pleased to join in support of this resolution. Indeed, I was a prime co-sponsor. The main sponsor is our colleague from California, Mr. Miller, who comes to Congress with a distinguished record himself in building homes. And this is a very important resolution, particularly at this time, because we have, I think, an excessive degree of concern right now about home ownership and its role in the economy. Obviously, speculation is never a good thing. But those who argue that housing prices are now at the point of a bubble seem to me to be missing a very important point. Unlike previous examples we have had where substantial excessive inflation of prices later caused some problems, we are talking here about an entity, home ownership, homes, where there is not the degree of leverage that we have seen elsewhere. This is not the dot-com situation. We have problems with people having invested in business plans for which there was no reality. The people building fiber optic cable for which there was no need. Homes that are occupied may see an ebb and flow in the price at a certain percentage level, but you're not going to see the collapse that you see when people talk about a bubble. And so
that's what I wanted you to hear.
Yeah, well, the guy's he's a visionary.
He's freaking Scooby-Doo is what he is. So, you know, we just got to bring this up from time to time because these guys are such shysters, such liars, such scum of the earth. They'll lie and cheat and steal and do anything, and we just sit by like a bunch of freaking slaves and let it come over us. It pisses me off.
Well, one of the problems is because of the news cycle. You know, that's the thing that we try to do here, which is to remind people, you know, over and over again because they forget. They want to forget. Nobody wants to they want to forget.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And people forget after 2 weeks. I mean, it's like, oh, well, whatever. You know, there's no follow up. There's no nothing. So, indeed, that's what you're paying for, ladies and gentlemen. That's what your donations to the No Agenda Armory are all about, is to remind ourselves once in a while what has actually happened. So we're not like the frog that is getting slowly cooked in the boiling water.
Well, that may not be true either, but that's Noah, Dvorak.org/NA. We do need some contributions to keep the show going. Oh, by the way, which brings up a point. Oh, and also the NoahGenderLibrary.com is another good place to go. So somebody wrote in and said, hey, you guys, can you go back to once a week? Because this is too much material for me to have these two shows. And I just said, well, I didn't really think we were ever going to go back to once a week, but because we want to go to three times a week and if we can get enough money. But now I'm thinking, well, what if he's not the only one who feels this way? Do people want this once a week, like maybe longer, or do they want twice a week, or do they want three times a week? So we need to get some input on that.
Well, I from time to time I'll get an email that says, oh, you know, usually it's their own personal situation. They don't have enough commuting time, but the point is, this is chewing gum. This is, you know, disposable. When the news that we're talking about today will probably not be any good tomorrow or the day after. And if it is, then we'll just bring it up again and there'll be a follow on. You don't have to listen to every single show, I guess is the point. Nor is that possible. I don't even think it's desirable that you listen to every single show. But in order to grow any type of critical mass in audience, you have to have a minimum of three shows a week to really break through. Now, we just can't, we just don't have the, we have to give up other things to move to three days a week, which is why we're working on the donation system. But I fundamentally disagree, and I just like to say, this is not like your typical podcast where you just have to listen to it and it's the highlight of the week. I mean, this is not just entertainment. This is something that you should, when you have the time, you tune into and you get important information, but you can come in and go out. You might miss some good story about the adult video awards, but
Yeah, but it's not a life and death.
No.
It is for Stoya. By the way, she's got a website. I think it's just Stoya or something like that. You should check her out. She's got she has what I would call a nice body.
I think I have her on the pay-per-view channel. I'll check. I'm reliably.
She's been in a lot of movies.
I'm reliably informed she might be on my pay-per-view channel.
And apparently, she's a Twitterer, so she's on. You can
There's a number of porn stars who are Twitterers.
Strippers that are on Twitter. Mm-hmm. It seems like. I guess people follow them. I noticed. I checked a few of them out, and most of the information is dull.
You know what's, I saw something really fun the other day. There's an account, let me see if I can find it, because I am subscribed. It's, I think it's like Erotic London or something like that. But someone has hooked up Twitter to Craigslist. And when someone posts in the sex services on Craigslist, which of course are basically all hookers, then you get a tweet for your location that you're subscribed to.
Now, wait a minute. Give me this again.
Okay. So, on Craigslist, you have the erotic services division, which is where all the hookers post their, new in town, available tonight. So you can subscribe to
passing through.
Yeah. Hot babe in town, one night only. You can subscribe to a Twitter account, and I think it's Erotic London. Let me see if that's right. Hold on.
So this is for the London hookers.
Yeah. So there's one for Amsterdam. There's one for every city, basically. Let me just see if that's the one. Erotic London. No, I'll find it and I'll put it in the show notes. So the minute someone posts a new ad in that category, then you get a Twitter about it. It's interesting.
Yeah, I guess. If you're out whoring around. I wondered that you could probably rig that. I mean, you'd set that up and you'd have your little stable.
Yeah, of course you'd have yours at the top. Are you kidding me? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a scam.
Absolutely.
So there was my son.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, please.
You go ahead.
No, please.
No, you go ahead.
Please.
So my son sent me a critique. I guess he listens to the show once in a while.
Now, which son and is this? Is this JJ or is this Eric?
John.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, we don't call him JJ.
Yeah, I do.
So he, go ahead. So he is turned into the Yo Agenda guys, apparently.
Oh, he's now against us?
No, he's not against us. He just thought he would, now he's giving us, because he types so fast. I've talked about this before. I mean, he puts together, he's just like ridiculous. But anyway, so he's got a couple of things here that he's complaining about. And one of them is the following. He's got it marked at 107.00. He says, Dad, it isn't cool to publicly like Family Guy anymore.
Oh.
Which I didn't know.
I didn't know this so, either. This is important.
I guess the kids know this stuff.
Yeah, this is...
So I can't publicly... I can like it, but I can't publicly like it.
This is definitely a...
And now, back to real news.
You may no longer like Family Guy. What is supposed to be cool then? What are we allowed to like?
He doesn't say. This is it. This is today's kids. They're all just negative. He talks about the metal detector and the G phone. And he doesn't know what he says there.
I freaked the guys out at the office, our engineering geeks, when I showed them that. They couldn't believe it. Yeah, they're like, how does that work, man? How does that work? I said, well, of course, if you were listening to No Agenda, you would know that there's an electronic compass in the G phone.
So he mentions that we should probably try to get some sound clips of old Jerry Brown, who used to be the governor of California, is running again and is a crackpot. You know, they call him Moonbeam out here or in California. And he might have a good point there. Acid Rain, he says, is still around, and he just goes on and on with some other stuff like New World Order to poison bacon to sustain.
What he should do, and what I would suggest, is there's a couple of ways you can interact with this show. There's obviously still a lot of use, noagendadrop.com, which is where you can chat during the, you can chat at any time, in fact. But you can also drop in news. And if there's something that you feel is incorrect, please put some information in there so everyone can see it. There's also noagendaforums.com, which, another one of our listeners / producers, maintains.
And then we have an IRC channel coming up.
Yeah, but we're not going to launch that until we're both back in our respective bunker and command centers. Yeah, so,
right.
No Agenda Forums, I think, is probably a good idea to go and have conversations. And, he shouldn't just be writing letters and sending them to you. He should post that publicly. We're obviously not going to be right about everything. In fact, we're probably more wrong about things than we're right about them.
Exactly. You're probably wrong about that. Which means we're right more often than not. You know what I'm saying?
So the Village Voice, which I think still has significance in New York, doesn't it? It used to be the newspaper you had to read if you wanted a job or if you wanted a place to live in the city. But I think it's still very relevant when it comes to news. Would you agree?
I wouldn't disagree.
There's this, and this is on the... on the website, obviously. It's a letter from a reader, and it's too long to read the whole thing, but what this guy is saying, in fact, the title of the article is Nazi Pentagon Experiments in Queens. And for several years now, residents in Queens have been receiving electrical shocks to their bodies while they're in bed. They've got they feel pinpricks. They get headaches. But listen, and it's all,
honey, what was that?
And it's all
shut up and go back to bed.
So they have helicopters hovering overhead, and these people literally wake up in the middle of the night, and they can feel their skin being zapped by which
at least
of course
they're doing it in Queens.
Well, I don't know why they chose Queens specifically. Well, there's a lot of good reasons, probably. But this is the if this is true, this sounds completely like the
completely nuts.
That was the electromagnetic.
I'm not lying.
And look, dude, there's like all these neighbors are confirming all this shit is happening. This has been going on since 2003, and as recent as Here, Tuesday, he has like a little running diary. Tuesday, April 21st, 2009, 3:32 a.m., tap on the comforter over left knee, plane overhead, woke up from my sleep. 4:51 a.m., thud on comforter over both knees. Then a moving wave travels longitudinally up the comforter, the distance of 1 foot from the knees to the thighs. Wakes me up again. Aircraft still overhead. And then, you know, the feel, and the, there seems to be a high number of people who have died of brain cancer in this Queens neighborhood. This is really pretty crazy stuff. And if it wasn't that it published in the Village Voice, I would have maybe dismissed it a little more easier. But
you mean if it was published in the New York Times, you would have just written it off?
Yeah, exactly. So check that out in the show notes, because you know my stance.
Yeah, we need to follow up on that one.
I'm going to. Well, I'm hoping people, I'm sure we have listeners in New York, and maybe we have a few in Queens, but it's an outrageous account of what these people have been going through for years. And it's concerning.
Yeah.
8:30 p.m. Pinprick to the right hip, plane overhead. Electrical shock to my neck at 8:43, plane overhead. Both legs involuntarily move for 1 second as if electrical current has been applied to them.
Maybe it's just the one guy. You know, we had these, you know, that's like the guy who gave us the 5150. You know, there are these people out there, and anyone who's worked with the public in a government agency, they run into them because they're always calling in and complaining about this sort of thing. You know, you go over there, and the guy's got aluminum foil plastered all over the walls and a thing on his head, and he's always pointing here and pointing there, saying, yeah, they got a beam coming in from the window, and they're trying to bake me over here and on one thing or another.
Right, but see, I don't write those guys off. I really don't.
Yeah, well, you should. Well, maybe you do hang out with them. I'm not sure, but
I find them to be
hard to deal with. To be honest about it, for one thing, they're so sincere, and they're looking for someone to believe them. That it's like it's kind of, I don't know. I feel uncomfortable around those folks. Sorry for you out there. I'm sure there's a few of them listening to this show.
I would hope so, because they're the only true connection to what's going on. Send all your crazy shit to me. I won't call you a nutcase. While you're in the Netherlands in the Amsterdam area, you might want to go. We already discussed this. You might want to go check out the museums. As you know, was it Goldman Sachs who was recalling the or basically taking possession of the bend in the Herengracht painting by Rembrandt?
Right, the one at the Rijksmuseum.
Well, now ABN AMRO says, hey, we have a painting that we need to remove from the exhibit as well. The self-portrait of Rembrandt is now part of another multi-million dollar claim. So all these.
Yeah, that painting's been around. It's the self-portrait I'm thinking of, which is the one where he's kind of middle-aged.
Yeah, with a hat.
Darker.
He's wearing
with
a
hat.
Yeah.
I actually have a fairly good copy of that painting painted in China that I picked up when I was in Xiamen, and I went to the shop that has all these, you know, they're all a copy shop, and it's interesting because some of these paintings of these copyists in China, and there's just this one company has 250 of these guys that are just painting stuff constantly, and I was going through the paintings to take some that I thought were pretty cool. And he laid out about 10 of these Rembrandt self-portraits. And one of them, you know, you could look at one to the other, to the other, to the other. And you've seen the painting enough times. You said, that's the one I want. And you grab it, and it's like $50. And it's a nice painting. It looks good in the hall. But the weird thing about it, which is the reason I want to tell the story, is that there's some guy in China that does nothing but Mona Lisa. And this guy is pathetic. He has never hit Mona Lisa. I swear to God, I saw 20 pictures of Mona Lisa.
Never really looked like it, huh?
And every one of them is like, her eyes are too close together. Her forehead's wrong size. She's got, what happened to her? She got a hair lip?
Yeah,
I mean, it's one thing after another.
And she's not really like, that cute to start with. But, you know, put her eyes too close together and give her a hair lip.
It doesn't take much. Just a millimeter difference. That Mona Lisa painting is actually hard to copy.
No kidding.
I mean, I've seen copies of it that are fair, but this guy just specializes. I don't know if he's ever hit it ever.
So
he needs.
Just to finish on the story, so this this Dutch multimillionaire who secured a multimillion euro loan with this Rembrandt painting. So this is a whole separate case from the one we talked about on the last show. He is not behind on his payments. He hasn't defaulted, but apparently the bank thought it was necessary to file a lawsuit to ensure that their lien would be valid. It's actually ABN AMRO and JP Morgan Chase. So they're out there embarrassing this guy, saying, hey, you know, if this guy defaults on his loan, then that painting's ours. And this, it just has a kind of a disgusting feel to it, this whole art as collateral thing. Art is supposed to be for everybody.
Yeah, or the owner.
Yeah. So you might want to go take a look at the painting before it's gone.
I was there last time I was in the town is when I went to the Rijksmuseum, and I saw it then. I mean, I could go back and take one more look and say goodbye painting.
Goodbye.
But there's other museums I haven't seen.
Have you ever been to the Modern Art Museum, the Stedelijk?
No, as a matter of fact. The only museums I've been to in Amsterdam were the Rijksmuseum and the Van Gogh Museum.
Yeah, you should go to the Stedelijk. It's right around the corner. It's the modern Museum of Modern Art, and probably my favorite exhibit, which I think is on permanent display, is Who's Afraid of Red, White, and Blue, which is just this massive painting of a red, a white, and a blue stripe.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it is.
Color field paintings always have a kind of a, unless they're done right, they're pretty hard to take. So a guy sent, Michael Cosme sent us another photo, which I think I'll send to you so you can put it in the show notes or put it on the webpage. And he says he's going to send one every time he sees this. That this is these towers that are cropping up in Manhattan that look like it's hard to say what they look like. They look like a sniper. It's like some sort of a thing that's like an elevator with a like a booth on the top of it that he calls a sniper's tower. And it's for, I guess, crowd control or something, even though I don't see any holes where a gun can come out and shoot people. But the NYPD has these things all over the place. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, well, let me
send me the picture? Yeah, send me the picture. Let me take a look.
Let me just forward this to your email. It'd be easier because it's in an email.
Okay.
And I had. So anyway, it's a. Yeah, he's been finding these things, and I told him to send them all, and he's been sending. I guess we haven't passed it along, but you need to post this so people can see. I'd like to find out what they are. I mean, maybe we should call New York City and find out what the heck's going on with these things. But anyway, you'll get it in a second. So what else you got on your list?
I'm looking for the audio or preferably video. So I'm not going to read this whole thing because I have the transcript. But I'll do it on our next show. Maybe someone can help me find the actual source material of Al Gore lying to Congress. Representative Blackburn was questioning Al Gore at the global warming legislation hearings, which, you know, we talked about this. So now watch out, because here it comes. Here come all the taxes on everything that emits carbon, including the actual words coming out of your cake hole. And he talks to, I guess it's a he, right? Blackburn?
I think so.
He talks Gore completely into a corner, basically making him say or admit that he is profiting from all of his green initiatives, and just reading the transcript, it's beautiful. But what happens is, so here it is. I'll just read this. So you're a partner at a venture capital firm. They've invested $1 billion in 40 companies that are going to benefit from cap and trade legislation. Remember that. So is the legislation that we're discussing here today, is that something you are personally going to benefit from? And then, so the transcript goes, Al Gore, sigh. I believe that the transition to a green economy is good for our economy and good for all of us, and I've invested in it.
You need to have the lisp in your voice to make that really work, and I can just see him sighing just like a 12-year-old.
I know, that's exactly why I want to have the real source material. So I have invested in it, but every penny that... I can't do the lisp. Every penny that I've made, I've put into a non-profit, the Alliance for Climate Protection, to spread awareness of why we have to take on this challenge. And Congresswoman, there you go, Congresswoman, if you believe the reason that I have been working on this issue for 30 years is because of greed, you don't know me. And then Blackburn comes back, says, no, sir, I'm not making accusations. I'm asking questions that have been asked of me and individuals, constituents that were seeking a point of clarity. So I'm asking, so here it comes. Every penny that I've made has gone to it, my nonprofit. Every penny from the movie, the book, from any investments from renewable energy, I've been willing to put my money where my mouth is. Do you think there's something wrong with being active in business in this country? So he immediately throws the, you know, is doing business bad? So he's out and outright lying that it's all in a nonprofit, because it's not. He's making tons of dough off of this. And he left the White House with $2 million reportedly in his pocket. And now he so far has invested $35 million of his own money in for-profit endeavors. And he's sitting there saying to Congress, no, this is all nonprofit. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, everyone who listens to the show know that we're no fans of Al Gore.
Do we have to talk about any Knights of the No Agenda Roundtable other than the 1081 quest, which you
left? Do you have the 1081 email handy? Because I can't. I'm looking for it now, and I can't find it.
Yeah, I can probably find it. Why don't you set it up?
No, we have no more new knights, and this is disappointing. But if anyone wants to be a knight of the No Agenda Roundtable, make sure to give us $1,000 for the show, and then you become one.
We're sorry. It seems there's a problem. Please try using Gmail with a supported browser.
What? What browser did you use?
Safari. Of course it's a supported browser.
Well, that's odd.
Nah, this happens. You know, Gmail has changed a couple things. They also changed the way they do their attachments. So now there's like a little flash thingy in there. And when you attach a file, it uploads the file to the server first before it sends the email. And I've seen online lots of people have this problem. They attach a file, you wait for, you know, like 3 minutes and it's almost done. And then it'll say, oh, attachment failed. And you can't fix it. Yeah, you have to blow out your entire cache. Like, I'm not going to do that.
You know, I'm going back to pop mail. I'm getting sick of the slowness of IMAP, you know, the whole thing. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So the 1081. Besides
that, the thing that really bothers me is that I can't do IMAP while I'm flying around in an airplane. I know I could have the combination.
Well, you.
But I don't do that, because the other thing is that I was using Thunderbird and I got 65,000 messages on my IMAP account. Thing chokes at 65,000 messages. It goes, ugh, I can't have any more messages. I can't take some messages out. Yeah. So he takes some messages out. It doesn't change. It still says you can't deal with it. Once some flag is triggered, it seems to me that the thing just doesn't want to talk to you anymore. It's like a jilted lover.
Yeah,
and I can't find any clients that are any better.
Well, what's worked really well for me is, as you know, I'm doing the command line thing. Mutt, you can figure that with IMAP, and then you can set up a little cache directory for your header files and stuff like that. So
hey, I don't care about it. This is ridiculous.
Go ahead, GUI boy. You old, go ahead and be slow.
So nobody's going to do what you suggest.
No, lots of people are doing what I suggest.
Yeah, all 13 of them.
So let me look for that email. It was, do you remember the guy's name?
Oh, you know, if I was at my house where I have his name scrawled on the wall with this can of spray paint, which I have all the nights, by the way, are on the wall of my office with spray can paint across the wall. That's how I remember their names. I can't remember names, so I have to spray can paint them.
Wait a minute. You spray paint your wall with the names of the knights?
Yeah, with a can of Krylon, black.
Okay.
What's wrong with that?
No, nothing.
Don't you do that?
Gee, no.
Huh.
What, crap, I don't know. I don't know. Oh, okay. Well, we did get a lot of people thinking they knew what it was.
They're all wrong.
Yeah. Well, here's the most interesting one from John W. Kitts, who sends us lots of...
Well, I know how I can find it. Let me see if I can go on the PayPal account and then get his name again.
You do that, and I'll read some of the wrong answers. So we got a donation of $1,081 from one of our three Knights of the No Agenda Roundtable. And, of course, the numerology thing is just beautiful because it gives us a way to get big numbers out of people. And John W. Kitts sent in his thought why this 1081 was an interesting number from the official 10-code list Association of Public Communications Officers. So you have 10-4, obviously, is Roger or affirmative. You have 1021, which is what is your location. And 1081 is a code for the breathalyzer, which I thought was a good...
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah, I like the answer. It wasn't what it was, but it's very creative.
And didn't we have a 5264?
Maybe. But you know, somebody pointed out something interesting, which was some of these people who are donating from Europe... The money may be coming in as some oddball number because of the change from euros to dollars.
Good point.
And we might be like interpreting these things when it's really like the guy gave us $50, but it came in as a 4216 or something. We're saying, well, it's a year of the Star Trek episode on number 3.
Well, here's my favorite one. So the 5264. Add 52 and 64, that gives you 116. Read 116 upside down, and you get 9/11.
That's a good one. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Let's see if I can actually access my PayPal account here from Holland, because 90% of the time, unless I'm on that one machine at home, it tells me to screw myself. You're a criminal. See what we got here.
How much does PayPal take off the top of those donations?
They take too much of the, you know, the ripoff, and we should probably discontinue this, is the $2 a month thing. It's better to do $24 a year, because the $2 a month thing, they take like 30 cents or something. It's like ridiculous.
Totally jacked.
And then they take 30 cents off the 24. I mean, it's just like it's all going to PayPal.
Okay, so I got into my email, and I think
get on.
The guy's name is Steve. Steve, can we give his name or not?
Of who?
No, it's not Steve. The guy, the No Agenda Knight. Shit, it's not Steve.
I don't have the spray can here.
Okay,
sorry.
I got it. It's Michael. There we go, Michael. Can I give his last name?
Yeah.
Michael Zelina. I'm sorry.
That's
Sir Michael. Sir Michael
Zelina. Sir Michael Zelina.
Sir
That's
Michael
right.
Zelina.
I knew that.
Yes. And of course you had to tell me after the last show, because I was going to pull my hair out.
And but wait, let me tell, give some people a briefing. After I told you, and you're going to hear one of the most convoluted things in your life. Adam says, oh, man, I was going there. I was almost there.
No. I would have come up with that, and not completely.
Horse shit.
I would have come up with, because I knew it was going to be some geeky thing. I knew it. So, Sir Michael Zelina, I'll just read his, I'll read his email. Characters are represented as numbers in ASCII encoding. This is the part I would have gotten to, because I have had to deal with ASCII codes doing a lot of this command line stuff. So, for example, the letter L is 76. So if you look up the letters in the table for, and here it comes, look and listen, you come up with a series of numbers like 76, 79, 79, 75, 76, 79, 79, 75, 76, 73, 83, 84, 86, 88. So if you add them up, so he just wanted to do look and listen, but he wanted to make sure we got over $1,000, so he made it look, listen, look. And if you add all of the ASCII codes of look and listen and look together, you get 1,081.
Yeah. And you were headed there.
I was definitely headed there.
Yeah, you almost got it. Yeah.
Anyway,
you heard all the other answers. I think the drunk driving one's even better.
He was involved in campaigns against genetically modified food, and he fully supports what we're doing here on No Agenda to keep people aware of how we're getting screwed.
There was a good news story last week about how the Indians, I think I Twittered it, I don't think I blogged it, about how the Indian, in India, they have somehow talked these poor Indian farmers into giving up their normal seeds in favor of Monsanto seeds.
Weren't there like 1,500 suicides or something from these?
Yeah, there's
these
a lot
farms?
Of suicides because these guys are going broke. What happens is you get something like 1/10 as many seeds for your investment, and the seeds which are supposed to grow 10 times faster and give you a huge crop, many of the crops failed and never grew for crap. They were junk. And so these guys are basically wiped out. And because I don't see, you don't have Monsanto going in there with micro loans by any means. Yeah. And so it's like a big scandal in India. And it's about Monsanto. I think Monsanto should rethink their strategy.
Well, I think their strategy is now just starting to unfold. I think they're just loving it right now. I don't think they give a crap, and they're all over the administration, who of course are now in their 100 days. That's another big real news story over here. And I would have to say, just scanning across the dial, the president gets very high marks from the media, who are apparently representing the people. And
yeah, the media representing the government. So there's another one that was interesting I ran into. Actually, I have to look him up now. But the guy who, there's a report that came out that, Merck had this product called, this is a drug company now, had this product called Vioxx, which apparently was, killing people.
Yeah, that was the painkiller that was actually killing the pain for real.
Yeah, well, it worked.
Yeah.
Except when you got a stroke, that didn't help. So anyway, let me see if I can find this, because I got to get the guy's name right. The CEO at the time, and I was, there was a bunch of, they unturned when they had during Discovery, which is a real problem for these companies. They don't like to get sued because Discovery is like a nasty thing. Bites you in the butt.
Yeah.
So they found some memos from the marketing department, and or maybe went as high as the CEO, but it's hard to say, but everything's a reflection of the CEO when it comes down to it, who says that there's doctors that are not prescribing Vioxx, and we have to destroy them, ruin their reputation.
Oh, yeah. No, shit.
You okay? I think he just fell off. Oh, somebody just grabbed
my
Adam
Vioxx
and threw him out the window.
they're trying to take me out back, John. I'm getting two to the head. No, I did read this, that they had the hit list memo. We've got to discredit them, destroy them, get rid of these doctors. And of course, Vioxx is the shit that wound up killing lots of people. Oh, I know, man. It's a freaking outrage.
Yeah, here's the kicker. The kicker is I got to get this guy's name. Maybe somebody, I could tweet it. But the guy who then retired like 2 years after the crap hit the fan regarding this stuff, and he wanted to stay in. He was wrecking the company anyway. He's a board director at Microsoft.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
I just found it abhorrent. I mean, and the funny thing is, I have to get his name, because I think we should talk about this guy every so often. Because if as a CEO, he wants to go out and discredit people and try to destroy their lives, I think we should just hound him. I mean, somebody should do it to him, don't you think?
I've been here for 3 days, and I can just feel throughout my whole body how we've lost that public media fight, John. There is just no, in China, you put shit in baby food, we're gonna kill you. We string you up publicly and we sentence you to death. Here it's like, what about the peanut butter guy? What happened to him? Did we hear anything about that dude?
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
No,
the guy's name is Raymond V. Gilmartin. And he's one of the, he's the former chairman, president, and CEO of Merck and Company when they put out the memo to destroy the doctors' reputations. So he's a he is a member of the Microsoft board along with people that I don't know why these people are even on the board except for James Marquardt. There's a woman from Harvey Mudd College. There's a chairman of the board of BMW, an AT&T guy, a guy from J.P. Morgan or woman from J.P. Morgan Chase. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, okay, whatever. Just a screwy board. No wonder the company's in trouble.
Are they really?
They had their first down quarter
ever,
in all their history.
Ever. Well, I think it's finally coming to fruition. And actually, I'm giving a speech at a college in New Jersey, and of course, I don't remember which one it is, this week.
You get the spray can out. You can remember more.
Yeah, yeah, the hotel will love me for it. I think I'm going to lay it out on the line for him because this is about music licensing and the music business in general. And you know, anyway, I'm doing a favor for a guy and so a friend of mine, so I'm going to go talk to them. But, you know, 15, 20 years ago when the internet was just kind of this thing that was emerging, in fact, when it was still rude to just jump into a news group and post something without having read through the netiquette of it all, and certainly no commercial messages. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah. And then if you did it, you'd be flamed to death if you violated the rule.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, when I registered MTV.com, people hated me. Oh, here it is. Now it's ruined. The internet is ruined. We're bringing in commercialism. I think it's just coming to fruition. You know, the internet is taking away everybody's business. It's, music business is dead. Newspapers, dead on the vine. Television, movies. It's just no stopping it. It's just going to die away. Phone companies, you name it. And now everyone's what was I reading about the, now the cable companies, you know, it's like, I think they're really in cahoots with the government at this point, and they're really going to try and make certain things just completely unaffordable, so that you can't just stream a video if it's coming from outside the network or outside of whatever your package you're going to be able to buy into. It'll only be cheap if it's their shit. I mean, there's something afoot, and there's a lot of nastiness going on, and we're just letting it all pass by. And
well, we have to start complaining more. Hey, you know, this connection that we have seems to be pretty good. And I think it's interesting is that when I'm in the California and you're over in Europe, the connection is pretty good. And now I'm in Europe and you're in California, the connection is pretty good, even though you're at that hotel.
Yeah.
But if I'm in California and you're at the hotel, it sucks. The hell's that all about?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Where if we're a stone's throw away, then it's no good. It must be some. Well, who knows? Maybe we should swap computers.
By the way, he's got a connection. Yan has a connection here, which is he's got like 20 megabits per second coming into his house.
Nice.
And it's on DSL, and he's waiting for fiber where he can get even 30 megs. And he's paying like $1.95 a month or something like that.
What, $195?
That's he's paying $30. It's like $30 or something like that.
Oh, man. I'm jealous. All right, John, tell me what's on the agenda for the next couple days for you in Amsterdam.
We're going to go take a look at the the miniature world, I hope.
Ah, yeah, of course. Hey, you know, the weather will be just as shitty there as in the real Holland.
Actually, right now, the sun came out. I mean, it was raining this morning, but now it's actually pretty nice. But, you know, I'm sure it's still going to be miserable most of the time. And then we're going to go, of course, to the giant party. Now, I didn't realize that the parties, the night parties for Queen's Day are the night before.
Yes.
See, I was doing some research because I was pointing out to somebody what I was up to. And then I looked at the page. It says the parties are the night before. And I'm thinking, wow, it's a good thing I read this.
If you showed up on the evening of the 30th, you would have been severely disappointed. Now, the way it works is the 29th, the night of the 29th is when you just party like a madman. And then you stumble home, you know, at 7 in the morning. And of course, beforehand, and I don't know if you can already see it, they may not have started yet, but people will mark out on the sidewalks, they'll mark out their spot with chalk, you know, and they'll put their name on it or their house number, like, okay, this is my spot, So you can't take that, and it's like drawing little real estate lines. So you
this
stumble
is for this.
Sorry,
I'm sorry. This for selling stuff.
Yeah,
though,
for
right?
selling stuff exactly. So you stumble home around 7 a.m. You know, then you get all your crap that you want to get rid of, and you throw it out on the street, and you sit down there on a blanket, and you wait for people to buy shit from you as they walk by. And then if they buy all your stuff, then you go walk around and you buy someone else's shit. It's a fantastic system.
Somebody told me that the park, there's a park that gets loaded up with stuff.
Yes, the Vondel Park.
Yeah.
So, so the party is... you probably
so the
won't
party's
have to,
the night before. Okay.
Yeah, and you probably won't need to go there before 10. I mean, it won't get started. Does he even say what time it gets started? I'm pissed off that I'm not there. God damn.
Well, it's too bad, isn't it? So,
yes.
It doesn't say what time it gets started. I guess about midnight? Is that what you think?
Yeah, probably. Anytime after 10, that'll make sense. My girl's going to hook you up. She's going to take good care
of you. But at 10, there's nobody there, you're saying?
No, after 10, not before 10. No, nothing happens before 10.
I was going to go there at 6:30.
Hi, I'm here for the... we're the Americans.
First, I was going to go to dinner at 4 because they have an early bird special. And then I was going to probably, take a nap and then go to the party about 6:30. And then,
all you can eat salad bar, John. Perfect. Yeah. Good luck with that. Enjoy that. and definitely call Taxi Eric, man. He's on standby. He's ready for you.
Okay. He's good. He's ready. I got to send him at some point. All right. Well, we'll see what I'll report back with photos.
Yes.
So I have this talking about. I want to make a public complaint.
Okay.
I got another one of these cards. This is the third or fourth time this has happened to me. I have a 16 GB compact flash. I stick it into my camera. I take about 10-15 pictures, and then it says, "Flash, memory no good." It just stops working.
Oh, and it breaks, and you can't recover your pictures?
No, you can recover your pictures with some special software. I'm not worried about that. But I couldn't make any more photos. I have 16 gigabytes.
Yeah. Yeah, this
luckily
flash,
I had
that's wonky, that flash. I've had that happen so many times.
I'm now convinced that that's the reason that they never came out with those hybrid hard disks. Because I think hooking flash memory to a hard disk and having the stuff fail left and right.
Yeah, it's just
even though
not
it doesn't fail that much, but it fails too much considering what the mean time between failures is supposed to be with a hard disk.
Yeah.
It's just not, it's not viable. I don't think anyone wants to admit it.
I'm going to go get me a netbook today. I did something really stupid because I'm all alone here in San Francisco, and of course you're not here, so I have nobody to play with on the weekend. So I'm like, I'm going to go out what do guys do when you're totally bored? You go out and shop, right? So I walk out. First, I went to the leather store. I want to see if I could get a new leather jacket.
Oh, here we go.
Some amazing shit. But then I'm like, I use my G phone. I'm like, I'm going to be completely cyber, and I'm going to, I'm on Market. I say, okay, G phone. I'm looking for computers, and it gives me, an address on Van Ness. So, interesting walk from where I am. It's about a mile and a half or whatever, 2 miles. And where it took me? It took me to the Circuit City on Van Ness.
Oh, that's funny.
Which is, of course, closed.
Yeah, of course, they're out of business.
They're completely out of business. And I walked 2 miles. I'm like, okay. Where can I go to get a netbook, John?
At least you had a nice walk.
Yeah, is there a place nearby that I can go?
A computer store where you are?
Yeah.
No.
Cool. Thanks.
San Francisco, what do you expect? They got a lot of bars.
Coming to you from the crackpot shithole hotel room, my name is Adam Curry.
And coming to you from Gitmo Nation East, a.k.a. Holland, I'm John C. Dvorak.
Not quite sure when we're going to talk to you again because of the Queen's Day festivities, but it will be this week sometime soon, right here on No Agenda.